The gospel reading for this Sunday that was assigned in the lectionary is Mark 5:21 to 43. And it's a story that can be told with many different voices. So I've invited Michael Colavita, who, by the way, thank you so much for singing. He's going to be... He just graduated from Washington and Lee University, and he's headed to Louisville, where he's going to be starting a degree, a master's in choral conducting. So we're very proud of our choir alum here. Anyway, so the many voices, he's going to reprise his Jesus Christ Superstar role as Jesus. And then I have various other characters here. I want to thank Michael Socio and Amanda Lacona. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue, named Jairus, came and, when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly,
"My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, so that she may be made well and live."
So he went with them, and a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was still no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, for she said,
"If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well."
Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately, aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said,
"Who touched my clothes?"
And his disciples said to him,
You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, "Who touched me?"
He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell before him, and told him the whole truth. He said to her,
"Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease."
While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say,
Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?
But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue,
"Do not fear, only believe."
He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people wailing and weeping loudly. When he had entered, he said to them,
"Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping."
And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her,
"Talitha cum,"
which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this, they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this, and he told them to give her something to eat. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you. One of the highlights for me on Easter Sunday was being able to relax and watch the concert performance of Jesus Christ Superstar broadcast live on NBC. This musical classic by Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice has been considered a global classic for almost 50 years. I listened to the first recording of Superstar when I was in high school. I listened to it in secret because my parents had banned it from our house. The thought of the crucifixion story told in the loud raucousness of rock music worried my parents that the cross had been trivialized. They were not alone in their fears, as many parents also imposed bans. Once I listened to the album, and I admit, yes, a black vinyl record on a stereo phonograph, I was confused as to what all the fuss was about, especially since all the girls at the Lutheran high school I attended were desperate to perform I don't know how to love him. No, Mary wasn't a prostitute, it was argued, but a representation of all believers struggling to understand their faith in someone who was both man and God. I loved the new production. The set and costumes were bright and contemporary. Noel and I enjoyed the new music arrangements and especially liked Alice Cooper, who was cast as King Herod. All the dance numbers were flashy and fast-paced with driving rhythms and contemporary dance moves. The enthusiasm of the cast extended to the audience gathered around the stage and out to the millions watching in their homes. It was a spectacle of epic proportions. Jesus of Nazareth was a biblical superstar. Crowds of people followed him wherever he went. People wanted to talk to him, touch him, and be with him. He was charismatic, and the crowds loved him. Of course, there were the miracles. His followers believed in magic, and Jesus was not only magical, but he gave them hope in a time when the Romans were in power and made their lives miserable. In Superstar, Judas warns, "You started to believe things they say of you. You really do believe this talk of God is true? And all the good you've done will soon get swept away. You've begun to matter more than the things you say. All your followers are blind, too much heaven on their minds. It was beautiful, but now it's sour." Jesus redefined every social norm of his time. Jesus was crucified by Rome because his messianic aspirations threatened the occupation of Palestine, and his zealotry endangered the temple authorities, writes Reza Aslan in his book Zealot, The Life and Times of Jesus of Nazareth. It was acknowledged publicly that Jesus contradicted the laws of Rome and the Pharisees, who were the keepers of the Jewish temple. And it was just a matter of time that his death would come by the hand of one side or the other. In Superstar, Caiaphas, the high priest, tells his cohorts, "Tell the rabble to be quiet. We anticipate a riot. This common crowd is much too loud. Tell the mob who sing your song that they are fools, and they are wrong. They are a curse. They should disperse." And the pilot of Superstar murders Jesus to keep the peace and not upset Rome. The Jesus of today's gospel reading proves once again to be the charismatic leader of a march that is both political and religious. By healing both women in this story, he exposes himself once again to the violation of the law. The woman suffering from hemorrhages was unclean. Anyone touched by her would be considered ritually unclean. Imagine a crowd rushing to be close to Jesus while also trying to avoid the sick woman in the crowd. Even the disciples are confused why Jesus would interrupt his journey to save the sick child of Jairus, who was, remember, a respected leader of the synagogue, for this woman, who would have been ostracized by everyone. The faith of both the hated unclean woman and that of the respected wealthy man from the synagogue is noted by Jesus. Both broke laws to seek his help. One broke a religious law while the other risked his status in society as the leader of the community by seeking help from an itinerant preacher. Jesus reacted to both in a surprising and unexpected way. He ignored the fear of the crowd to give the example of a new authority and social order. When the Westminster Choir worshiped with the St. Mark's Presbyterian Church congregation in Tucson this past February, I was surprised by the pointedness of the minister's sermon about the recent school shooting in Florida. After the service, I asked him, "How are you able to be so specific without being political? In fact, what is political preaching?" Reverend Smith, a young man in his mid to early 30s, smiled and said that at St. Mark's, he would be chastised if he didn't preach what some might call a political sermon. In future emails, I discussed preaching in more detail with him, and I have to say humbly that I still am not sure what a political sermon is. As a minister, I am called to recognize God, to be sovereign in all spheres of life. How are theological and spiritual truths relevant to the issues of our day, to the lived experience of human beings? I admit to being just as afraid as the woman who reached out in the crowd to be healed. I am not angry, nor am I afraid of anyone who claims to be a Democrat, a Republican, or an independent. What I am afraid of is the continued incidence of gun violence in this country and the misunderstanding or the confusion of the humanitarian treatment of migrants. I worry that my 3-year-old granddaughter may not have the right to be in control of her own reproductive organs when she is grown. I am heartsick for those in my family and circle of friends who are members of the LGBTQ community and the fear that they have about not being able to love freely. And I think of the wonderful people that I meet every summer when I travel to Tizay, France, and am reminded how important it is to continue building trust among all nations. During every communion service, I am reminded of a sermon that was preached by a wise pastor whom I love and admire. He's not here today, Reverend Bob Pryor. I'm sure many of you also love and respect him as well. In this sermon, he described the closing scene of the 1984 movie Places in the Heart, which starred Sally Field and other popular film stars, including John Malkovich, Ed Harris, and Danny Glover. It is about a U.S. Depression-era Texas widow who tries to save the family farm with the help of a blind white man and a poor black man. Racial tension, financial struggles, and the prejudice against people who are considered other are themes that run throughout the film. The relationships of the people in this movie are both heartwarming and horrifying. The story ends with the community gathered for worship. In a highly symbolic scene, communion elements are passed among the assembled congregants at the church between both the living and the deceased. The last line of the film is spoken by the young black man who was lynched by the KKK for accidentally killing the sheriff, who was the widow's husband. The boy turns to the sheriff and says, "Peace of God." Throughout communion distribution, the congregation is singing the popular old hymn, "In the Garden." We come now to gather around a table where all are welcome, just as the crowd who surrounded Jesus. We bring all our fears and all that makes us sick or filled with death, and we reach out for the bread and the cup as a reminder that there are no divisions or walls that separate us from the love of God. Come and be healed. Amen.